Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Important that our kids understand their identity in Christ, because the world around us tells our kids a lot of things about who they are. But as believing parents, we know one thing to be true. We were made in God's image and we were created for a purpose. Have you ever wondered, how do I talk to my kid about the topic of identity? It feels overwhelming and complicated and confusing. Or how do I weave scripture around conversations about faith, identity, and purpose into your everyday life? Well, Identity Simplified is the resource you need. Identity Simplified is Christian parenting's newest digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? How does our identity in Christ change our purpose? What does the Bible say about sexual identity or gender identity? And how do we treat others? And much more. You'll find conversation guides, discussion starters, and script to use with your kids. And since the guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone or computer and then search through those resources whenever you need. There's a lot of information out there and it can feel like a big topic. And we hope that this guide will help you in your everyday life as you and your family question the culture around you, your identity in Christ, and much more. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of the best resources from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. And again, that's cpgive.org. And let me ask you a favor. Let me know what you think. Email us, DM us over at Christian Parenting or Pardon the Mess, and tell us how this resource helped you or some of our other digital guides out there. There's a lot on the website. We hope they bless you and your family.
Okay, story time. I hope y'all think some of these are as funny as I do, but I think life as a parent and just the daily silliness is so amusing. So Ella and I went to get our toes done, but of course, and this particular lady that was doing Ella's toes was kind of going back and forth between me and her. So she was helping if she saw I needed to put my flip-flops on, she was putting those on. But at the end, so Ella and I were already tickled and we were texting each other and trying not to be rude or inappropriate, but we were already tickled. You know, like if you go to an important meeting or a funeral and you get the giggles, this is where we were. So at the very end, I had to go, but Ella was staying. And so I went to get up and just to put the bottle of water that they had so graciously given me in my purse. And she swatted my hand, like smacked my hand, because she wanted to put the water bottle in my purse. And I get it if it's like, hey, don't mess up your toes, I'm putting the flip-flops on for you. But what does the water bottle have to do with anything? Like, my nails weren't done. So we were dying. I had to immediately like run for the door because I couldn't handle it. Ella's head was down. We were dying. So, you know, just another random day in the DeFeo house. So have y'all had any moments like that where it's like inappropriate laughter? I really do love teenagers. They're so, so fun. Okay, moving on to our guest today. She does not do pedicures with her children because she's Monica Swanson and she has four boys. So if you have boys, you are absolutely going to love this. But I will tell you, if you don't have sons, you're going to enjoy it as well. She has a new podcast called the Monica Swanson Podcast and a new book called Raising Amazing. And both of those are for parents, not just moms, but dads also, not for parents of girls, but for parents of all children. So I think you'll gain so much wisdom by listening to her very practical and relatable thoughts on many issues, from faith to sibling relationships, to sports and hobbies. We can get into all kinds of things. And also pretty cool, I had asked you guys on Instagram if you had specific questions for her, something you're dealing with your children. And she went through like five or six of them. So if you sent me a question, get ready. You might just have the answer in just a moment. So enjoy my new friend, Monica. What's up, Monica?
Hey, so good to be here.
We've just known each other roughly 2 minutes, but we had quite the situation this morning.
Oh, we
on
did.
Our time zones.
And I decided right away that we get each other because we were both all over the place.
Yeah. So this is our friend Jill. That's my producer. She had a funeral in her family. Her father-in-law passed away. And so I've been trying to do a few things of my own this week. And I'm like, this is why I can't book people because I'm so lost.
Right.
But you have a unique time zone. Tell everyone where you're appearing from.
Yes. Well, time zones are really difficult. Extra challenging for me because I am in Hawaii. So everyone feels sorry for me for a quick minute. But what's hard is we don't change all year. So in the summer, I'm so many hours different from everyone. And in the winter, it's different because you all change and we don't. And so I'm like closer to you in the winter and further in the summer. And so it's really complicated. But yeah.
Wow. I would have to have a chart, like a sliding chart.
Yeah, I should get a chart. I should probably do that.
Yes. Okay. Tell us about your weather because we're recording this in the heat of the summer in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I told her my I don't know if it was wrong, but the temperature gauge in my car said 107. I'm like, this can't be real. So what kind
That's
of
really
troubling
hot.
Temperatures do you have down there?
Yes. The thing, again, in Hawaii, there's a lot of things that don't change, which is lovely if you want consistency and you can count on things. But it's also, you could say, I won't say it's boring, but our temperature hardly changes throughout the year. We go between 70s and 80s, every once in a while into the 90s. It does get a little more humid in the summer and fall. And then the other thing is, and this is to me a con, not a pro for Hawaii, is the sun goes down almost the same time year round. There's a little variation, but I grew up in the Pacific Northwest and I have wonderful memories of like it being light out at 9 o'clock and you're running around the yard. And, you know, I remember summertime here in Hawaii, summer, it could be winter. It's all pretty much the same. So, you know,
that's
a little
amazing.
Boring.
What a beautiful place to raise a family. Speaking of, tell us, you have a house full of boys. So I have many questions because it's like a foreign species to me. I have two girls and only one brother. And I just remember he was so crazy. Like he would just break all these bones and had no fear. So I have two questions. Tell me about your house of boys. And then is there any recent stories where you just shake your head like, only in a house of boys would this antic be going on.
Yes. Well, it's a little sad because some of the year I'm down to one because I have three official adult sons now, and two of them mostly live in California. One's in college, one graduated. My third son, interestingly, is a professional surfer. So he graduated from high school a year ago, and he does call our home, but he travels the world. So he's kind of coming and going wherever the surf is. And then I have a 13-year-old who is still here, and I homeschool him. But this summer is really fun because my older boys are kind of popping in, staying for a little while. One of them is working remotely while he's here for a month. And so it's really, really fun, and it is loud, and it's just a lot of action. I mean, now that they're adults, they're a little more mature. But when they were young, it was quite a scene all the time. My 13-year-old is recently really into spearfishing. And so I don't know if there's a story as much as like something about that sport, if we call it that, is really addicting. So he will go out and like be in the water. And if he sees a fish and he can't get to it, it's like devastating. Like he comes out and he's basically shaking. Like he wants to just get that fish. So he can spend hours and hours in the water until he kills a little fish. And then we cook it up and eat it.
Wow. So. Now, are you into that as well? Has he roped you in?
No. I just help clean up the kitchen after the grease flies. So that's
the hilarious.
Boys thing.
I was thinking before you came on, because I knew you had a surfer in your family. My sister, we grew up in Georgia, and she worked at this place called Gazooks in the mall. And I think that they had like cool gear. And somehow the guy looked like a surfer. And she was like, I'm going to marry a surfer. And so she went into this whole season where she got surfer magazines. She put them all over her wall. And I remember thinking later, like, where are you going to locate a surfer in Atlanta, Georgia? Like, where's the tide ripping?
That's the best in the magazines.
It didn't work out. She married an IT guy, but for a minute there it was all about the surfer.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, they're their own breed. I don't know if I recommend. I mean, my 19-year-old's a quality guy, but the general stereotypical surfer, not sure. I know a lot of them.
I love it. I love it. Well, we have lots to talk about. In fact, you don't really have to introduce yourself because all of the people that follow me on Instagram are like, yes, like people just love you and are excited to ask you some questions.
Too.
So we'll get to a few of those. But I want you to start with kind of the reason behind or the heart behind your newest book called Raising Amazing. I'm going to read the whole thing because it's so great. It says, bringing up kids who love God, like their family, and do the dishes without being asked. Mm. Amen to that. So give us a little heartbeat behind why you wrote it and what your hope is, because we talked before we came on that your hope is that not that people see that and go, oh, she must have amazing kids and I'll have to read the formula to do that. It's the opposite of what you want to do.
You are so right. And that's so important for me that people know that, because I've had this, you know, lingering fear that people will misunderstand that title. But well, first of all, we have an amazing God, right? And every child that he creates is made in his image. So all of our kids are amazing. So the heart of the book is really, what can we do as parents in our limited human nature to bring out the most amazing aspects of our kids, help them achieve the potential God's placed into them? And so my first book was called Boy Mom, as you know, and I kind of just listened as people over the last couple of years have emailed me and responded to my podcast and all that. And the three areas that I saw people most interested in developing or learning more about were seeing that my boys thus far all love Jesus and have a personal relationship with God, even as they move out and they're on their own. Praise the Lord. And, you know, all glory to him. I can't make that happen. Yeah. I can't.
Yes.
Number two, character. I talk a lot about character. I have a character training course. It's just like, I love to talk about that because it's such an old fashioned thing that our culture today does not embrace. And I think it's still the key to everything. And then the other thing is family relationships. And people see that my boys leave sappy Instagram posts for one another on their birthdays, and they actually love each other. They go on road trips together. They're best friends. And so people want to know, like, how do you make that happen? And again, you don't make it happen, but I really wanted to share, like, what can we do? What are the things parents can do to help these three things come to fruition? And acknowledging all the while that only God is sovereign and our kids have a free will. Yeah. And sometimes they can be as frustrating as anything, but there is a lot we can do. So I love to just celebrate that and focus on it and encourage parents to really embrace this season, which seems sometimes to last forever, but really does pass in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. And I have not read it yet, but I'm planning on it. But I did notice that this was kind of a family project. Yes. So it's not just for you, from you, for moms. It's broader than that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked, because that's my favorite thing about the book was we decided, you know, with Boy Mom, I had a lot of women say, like, oh, I wanted my husband to hear this, but it's called Boy Mom. So I would be sneaky and like play the audio in the car when he's with me. So this time, at the end of every chapter, there's a word to the dads, which is a really short and sweet message that my husband labored over. I'll tell you, my husband's a doctor, and to write a text message takes him like 20 minutes. He's a very thoughtful writer. So I could whip out a chapter and then he'd sit there and his one page would take him. So it's good. I'm telling you, there was a lot of thought into every word to the dads. But he kind of gave, I call it the cliff notes. It's like, hey, I hope the men will read the whole book, but if they don't, at least read Dave's like little nugget at the end that is just for the dads. And then also every chapter has just some thoughts from one of my four sons, from the back then 12-year-old all the way up to the 22-year-old. And these are just kind of their perspective on whatever the topic is, maybe telling a story or share, you know, it's just fun. It gives people a little insight into our family life.
I love it. They are so, I guess you can't call adults cute, but they're also cute.
They are cute.
Thank you. I guess they moved into a handsome face.
You know those mornings when you need your brain on, but the usual coffee routine just isn't cutting it? Maybe you love your caffeine kick, but not the crash or jitters that come later. If you can relate, maybe it's time to start looking for something different. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high-quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee, but without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, steady energy. What really impressed me are the ingredients, things that support focus, productivity, even gut health, all in one cup. It's like your morning coffee upgraded. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus a peppermint mocha creamer, which is absolutely perfect for the holidays, and over 100 in free gifts. Visit everydaydose.com/mess or use mess at checkout.
We
talked, like I said, before we got on, that it's really a tension that we all live with as Christian parents, that it can be both and. And so I wrote down a few statements off of your website that I thought, this is it. So we can own our influence, but surrender our kids to the Lord. Mm-hmm. We can be honest about their struggles while doing our best in the struggles. Mm-hmm. We can laugh at the craziness while taking our role seriously. And I think as people that just want black and white, we want like, just tell me the thing to do and it will all work out just fine. So how have you wrestled with the tension of not just leaving it all up to chance versus obsessing over the results and the outcome?
Yeah, I think that is such a work in progress for all of us. But I think the more you recognize it and say it, speak it out, accept it, the easier it is to move forward. I think as long as we are, you know, really holding tightly to our role and feeling all this responsibility, we're going to be miserable. And as long as we throw our hands up in the air and say like, oh, well, I guess, you know, whether you put that under the banner of God is sovereign, or whether you just say, I don't know, this world's crazy. There's only so much I can do. Like either extreme is not going to work. So you just have to consistently come back to, I'm going to do my very best, and then I'm going to trust God and really have faith that in His timing, everything's going to work out according to His plans. So I think it's a work in progress for all of us.
I love that. Thinking about your boys, and that's so many different personalities. So even my two girls, you think you've got it. You're like, okay, this is how we're going to do discipline. Exactly. And then they completely react differently. So was that challenging to kind of reinvent the wheel and reset every time you had a new personality?
Oh, 100%, especially with this fourth son, because my first three were kind of born every 2 years. And then we went 6.5 years before number four came along. And he is his own man. I mean, he's the first really kind of sassy. He's funny. I think, you know, the last child is sometimes the comedian. And so it's been really funny this summer with my older boys home, because they're just looking at me like, are you kidding? You're seriously going to take that? But I'm over here giggling because I think he's hilarious, but he's getting by with murder. They're like, we would have been so spanked for that, mom. And you are laughing. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm just getting old and tired or if I just appreciate his personality. But yeah, there's such a range of personalities in this family.
I love that. Sounds like we would get along. I was the entertainment girl. I love that. Okay, so my friends on the old Instagram sent me some questions for you. So are you ready? We'll get to as many as we can. Okay. So I'm going to save a harder one for later. We'll start kind of softball. So how do you nurture friendships between brothers, just as we were talking about? How do you nurture that relationship with kids that are so different?
Yes. And I actually have really studied brother-sister relationships, sisters too. So, you know, for this book, I wanted to make sure I wasn't just coming from the boy-mom perspective. And honestly, the biggest, best advice I have is to just make sure your kids spend time together. And I think that in the world today, with so many activities, kids running different directions, so often kids are in different school settings, you know, because we have so many options now. And it's really easy to just keep the peace by keeping kids apart. It's like they don't get along. So I'm going to make sure that on the weekend they have separate activities. When we go on a vacation, we're going to bring a buddy. Whereas I call it front loading, like get those kids together, let them fight it out, because eventually they're going to learn to make peace and they're probably going to become friends even through it. But it's painful getting there, but it's so worth it. So time together is my number one tip.
I love that. Okay, next one. My 13-year-old, and this could be a boy or a girl, but this particular one is a boy. My 13-year-old is disinterested, unmotivated, unemotional. What do I do? And I'm thinking as I read this, I bet that mom's personality is like, we get things done. And they're like, is this a teenage thing? Right. Is this a boy thing? Like, what do I do with this sloth of a human? That might be a little extreme.
That's tough. And, you know, again, you kind of have to spend time with somebody to really get in there and see. I've always wished I could do like, remember, was it Super Nanny? Is that what she's called?
Yes.
I always wish I could go do like home visits and like hang out and watch the teenagers. But
yes, you're invited to me. You can come to me.
So I'm thinking probably that 13-year-old does get excited about something. Like you watch them when they play video games, are they excited? When they do their sports? So it might more be about finding the things that really get them excited and motivated and passionate. And sometimes they do need some good old discipline. Are you requiring them to do some work? Are you telling them that they can't do the things they want to do until they've done the other things. So discipline is tough, but it's a big part of our job, and just kind of looking for the areas that might motivate them and tapping into that the best you can.
Yes, I love that. For my girls, it is challenging to know, and I have no idea if this is right. I'll just show you what we did. Challenging to get the rooms clean, and there's clothes everywhere, and one is more like neat than the other. Mm-hmm. So I finally was tired of like making it an issue that I said, okay, Sunday before the end of the day, like before you start school on Monday, it has to be cleaned up. The clothes aren't just shoved under the bed. Like they have to be washed and in their place. So they do their laundry and they put it up. But I just stopped looking during the week and just said, that's your deadline. And then if they didn't meet it, then we had consequences. But
perfect.
I think for each family, it's figuring out like nobody's excited about laundry.
Right. You know? Right. And also I think we need to remember at 13, there's a whole lot going on in those little bodies. Like, God bless them. Do you remember 13? Like that was not fun. Yes. And so just acknowledging that like they're probably going to move through this into a new phase pretty soon. So sometimes we just need to be patient and accepting and watch it pass.
I love that. So good. Okay, this is an interesting one. My son has friends but isn't social. Is that something you even try to cultivate? And it made me pause because I think one of mine is a social butterfly. One of mine is more introverted. So she likes friends, but she definitely needs that reset time. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to get to know their personalities. Do you even try to make them social or how do you balance that?
Yeah. I think sometimes it's hard for us to accept when our kids' personalities are so different from our own and we just like can't relate. And so I think, again, a lot of this is just accepting and not trying to change them. Now, there can be minimum requirement. Like for us, we live in a small community where there's not a whole lot of options for positive socialization. So the one thing we did was kids went to youth group. We knew they had a good, healthy, small youth group with good leaders. So we're like, it's just what you do. And it fortunately never became a wrestling match. They didn't like resist, but it was just kind of like, we go to church on Sunday, you go to youth group. So that kind of kept them integrated with other kids. And they also did sports and things like that where they had to be around kids, but we didn't force like play dates or trying to make them into some super social being. My oldest son is an introvert and he's developed great friendships now in his adult, you know, college and adult years, but we kind of let him spend a lot of time alone and that was what was best for him.
Yeah. You brought up sports and I have that as one of my questions from your book. So I imagine for four boys, and I'm just assuming sports, but one might be into music or art, but how did you naturally let them find their thing? Were they, did they overlap? Were they all interested in surfing and they just naturally made their way into the things they loved most?
Yeah, that's huge, I think, in the growing up years, whether you have sons or daughters, is helping them. I think some parents found their own thing young and they're like freaked out if their 10-year-old doesn't know what they love and are passionate about. I'm like, come on, give them a chance. Like some kids just grow up just being kids. Like remember when it was okay to just ride your bike around the neighborhood and watch cartoons like that? You don't have to be an elite athlete by 12 years old. So
that's right.
Sometimes we need to simmer down a little bit, but I think exposing them to a lot of things and giving them a chance to figure it out. My second son is a great guitar player. He did sports as well, but I'm so happy he found music to be something he was passionate about. My oldest son started like coding and doing computer stuff in his early teenage years. And I think that filled some of those lonelier gaps when there just wasn't a whole lot of social stuff going on. So I think introducing them to lots and seeing what clicks. And 90% of the stuff won't click, but it doesn't hurt to introduce them to things anyway.
Yeah. I think back to those extremes. I'm really a wimp. So if my kids are like, I don't like that sport, it was hard, I'm like, okay, quit. But then I see parents on the, I see parents on the other extreme where they're like making these kids go to practice year after year. And it's like, do you even like gymnastics?
No.
Like, so I think as parents, we have to be honest about, like you said, was I a baseball champion player and I'm making my son do this? And so that can be tricky to discern.
It can be. And yet they also sometimes hit that stage where maybe they want to do something, but they're just lazy. Like the 13-year-old you named, certainly there comes a time where we're like, listen, if we're paying the fees, if you're, once you sign up for this, we're going to make you go all season long. If you don't want to do it next year, you can quit. But there's a commitment level and that's character building too. So
yeah,
it's tricky.
I love that. Okay. Here's a tricky one. So this mom has a son chasing hard after a rigorous military goal. Like, we're talking West Point level. She truly believes it's not a fit for him. And so she's like, how do you balance cheering your kid on, but also cautioning them to be like, you're going to hate this. But like, so she's like, do I break his heart?
Oh, man.
Or do I wait for a West Point to break his heart? And then I pick up the pieces. I'm like, I got nothing. I'm asking Monica. I don't know. That's
you know
a big
what?
One.
This is why we have prayer. Because I got nothing. I mean, okay, I err on the side of honesty with my kids. I really talk pretty openly as they get older. You know, there's always, you've got to filter things. And yes, please do pray. But
yes,
I do believe in just speaking truth and honesty. And I think you can just say, as your mom, I'm going to tell you what I see in your personality. Here's some things I can really see you thriving in and doing great in. Hey, you know what? The Lord may have you at West Point in the military. It's going to be a stretch for me to imagine, like, maybe pointing out some of the things that are similar to that that have been like awful. But at the same time, kind of keeping that door open. Like, I can't wait for God to surprise me if this is what your calling is. But in a way that kind of prepares them in so that there's maybe less disappointment if they do get to that day and they realize. Yeah. So I like to be honest, that might be a personality thing, but pray.
Yeah, and you're right. Yeah. I feel like praying over time, God will either keep opening that door or he will, you know, reveal something to their hearts, to the own son, and make it be their idea. That's like, you know what? I thought about it, but
I actually have a story where a similar kind of situation, though smaller scale, but I talk about this in Raising Amazing, but my second son, so my first son got a really sweet scholarship to a small private Christian school, and my second son started to think, well, that's what I want to do too. I want to follow in his footsteps. I want to get the same scholarship, but it required pretty high standardized test scores. And my second son's super smart in different ways than the first, but testing wasn't always his thing. And so I was like, oh shoot, what are we going to do? Like, so I allowed him to go ahead and take, of course he took the test like everybody does, and his scores weren't in that range. And so I wanted to just be a realist. And so I started trying to talk him out of that dream. And I was like, you know what? There's so many other options. Community college, like state school, like there were plenty. And he would have been happy wherever he ended up. But he was so determined. And he took that test again and again. I think we hit four times. But he was studying his head off. Like, he found every free resource online. He was in like forums. After he would take a test, he'd find out all the ones he got wrong and learn why he got them wrong. And I was the discouraging mom going, buddy, I don't think scores change that much. Like, this is good for you, but just so you know, you're probably not going to get what you need. And he completely proved me wrong. And he totally got the scores. Finally, in that fourth time, he got the scores he needed. He got the scholarship, and now he's an engineering major, proving that he totally deserved it all.
Wow.
But definitely, I was the one going, oh, I have to help, you know, protect him from disappointment. And yeah, he proved me wrong. So there you go.
I love that story. Yeah. Ella is going into her junior year. So those testing things are about to begin. And it is like, whew.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Most kids don't have that kind of endurance, but this one,
no,
this one has it. So.
And he earned it. You know what I mean? I love that you didn't make him take the test. He wanted to.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So great. Okay. Last one from Instagram. Okay. There's two. Creative ideas for connections between mom and sons.
Most people have already heard this, but in case anyone hasn't, certainly shoulder to shoulder is the best way to go with boys. So anything you can do where they don't have to stare into your eyes. So getting out for a walk, a bike ride, even doing, you know, laundry, dishes, anything where you're kind of side by side seems to be when they are most comfortable talking to you. Also, most people know it, but late nights are when you're about to crash into bed. At the end of the day is usually when they're going to open up the most. So if you can linger a little bit by their bedside, give them a little back scratch, that seems to be time that they will open up things that they don't talk about all day long. Otherwise, humor. I think teenage boys are so funny. And if we just accept that their humor is different from what we probably grew up with and kind of tap into that, we're like, this is actually really fun. So, And don't
a lot of potty words, right? Potty words when they're little.
Yes. And I think too, just not expecting the relationship to look like something it probably won't be. If you grew up with sisters, if all you know is girl relationships, it's going to look different, but it'll be really, really fun in its own way.
I love that. Okay, last question from the Instagram. I don't know why I keep calling it that, but do you have any tips on dating for your boys as they're raising their own sons? Any conversations ahead of time? Did you have, and I know there's no, like I said, no formula. But is there any practical things?
Yeah, we just had friends visiting that were asking about that. And I was like, we really didn't have rules, but interestingly, none of our boys dated in high school. So I feel like I kind of got by super easy. I think that principles are super helpful here. So when you're raising kids to want to honor God in all the things they do, their relationships, then a lot of things just work themselves out. Mm-hmm. Certainly if one of our kids came to us at 14 and said, I want to start dating someone seriously, we probably would have come up with rules. I mean, we would have figured some out really quickly. But being that we're out in the country and it's a four-boy household, it just, they were busy with sports. It just wasn't on their agenda. I am a fan of J.P. Pakluta's book called Outdated. I recommend that one. My oldest son read it and he was like, I'm fully on board with this. So I think once parents kind of get their own mindset around what they think dating should and shouldn't look like, biblically speaking, then it's a lot easier to talk principles and kind of pass that down and pointing kids to good role models, showing them how it looks when it's done right, that inspires them. And yeah, but talk about it. Don't not talk about it. Talk about all the things. In fact, talk about things before they're things. That's always what I say. You want to bring it up before they learn it from someone else.
All right. I want to let you have the final word as you think about writing this book and as you think about a mom or a dad or a family picking this book up. What is your biggest hope? You know, and I know there's a lot in there, but you know, because this was not easy. It's never easy to pour your heart out into a book. So what do you hope they walk away with or feel encouraged about as they hold your book?
Yes, thank you. Well, my favorite parenting verse is 3 John 4 that says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so I really love to just cast a vision, especially for those with younger kids, and just say, there's a lot of work in parenting. But man, when one day your 24-year-old comes home and you're hanging out and talking about things God's doing in their life and they're like chasing after Jesus and living just a really great life and happy and healthy, it is so worth it. Like there is no greater joy. There's no job or accomplishment any of my boys could have that bring me more joy than to know that they're just walking in truth. So keep your eyes on the most important thing. Don't get caught up in all the little stuff that doesn't matter down the road. But really, you can't pour too much love and faithfulness into your family. You just can't. It's the most important thing, and it's the one thing that'll go with you till the end. So family's super important. Don't get distracted by the other stuff. And hold loosely, trust in God, but do what you can. You'll never, and at the end of the day, like my husband says, or at the end of your life, no matter what choices your kids make, you will be able to answer to God and say, I did my very best, which will never be perfect, but I took this job seriously, and you'll have no regrets then. So keep working hard, trust in God, and have fun along the way because it goes by so fast.
That's so true. Monica, thank you. I feel like I have a new friend. I really enjoyed meeting with you. We are friends in the Christian parenting world. Her podcast is under Christian Parenting as well. So where can people find you?
Oh, for sure. Well, my home base is my website, monicaswanson.com. And that's got links to the Monica Swanson podcast with Christian Parenting as well as anywhere else. I'm on Instagram at @MonicaSwanson_. And yeah, I'd love to meet people. So if you find me, be sure to tell me how you found me so we can be friends.
I love it. Thanks so much. Let's do this again.
Awesome. God bless. Aloha.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do two things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.